Hello and welcome to Cakey Tea. We are now interviewing Tony Andrew, and he has a story or two for us. Just to set the scene, Tony is currently in Penzance Hospital, so you may hear background noises and nurses may come in and there may be an interruption within the story. I don't need to say any more. Over to you, Tony, nice and loud.
Well, I had a great pal called Fred Pope. Nobody called him Fred, they all called Fed. And one day, my cousin Dizzy Kendall, he said, Fed's used to take snuff regular. He said to Desi, he said, because he called everybody Michan. Not my son, Michan. And he said to Desi, he said, go and have a pinch of this, sorry, Michan. Desi said, no, Fred, he said, Fed. He said, I'll blow my bloody brains out. He said, that's least of your bloody worries, Michan. We were up in Zuzum and Carnegie Men's Institute, Carver. And we was going to get in Charlie Hamill's Joe at Javelin, go in Penzance for a bit of nosh. Anywho, Fred went to go in the back, and all of a sudden he started to scream out, with, what the hell is wrong with thee? What's wrong, Fred? Boston crump. And he rubbed his leg a bit, and he got halfway in, and he started to squeal out again. What the hell is wrong now, Fred? I got cramp in the other bastard leg. Anyhow, we rubbed his leg and we bundled in the back of the bloody car and went in for a few fish and chips. Poor old Bucker, he used to suffer a cramp awful. And we used to laugh at him and they were in the same damn pickerman cramp. Oh, and you got to rub your leg and you look like a bloody picnic kid. Fred Pope come up in the Resurgent Institute one night, opening through the door. How are you doing, me shans? All right, Fred. Fred sat down and had a bit of chat and glanced up at the ceiling and who should be on the ceiling stuck fast from a newspaper was Sir Winston Churchill. Oh, he done his bloody nut. Got a chair, got the sweeping brush, tried to get him down, he couldn't get down. Fred said, who put that bastard up there? Nobody didn't own up to it. And anyhow, after several tapes standing on a chair with a sweeping brush, he managed to tear enough of them off. Fred just worked on the mine, and every morning when he got down the bottom, the pit ponies down there. And one used to come up to Fred every morning to have a pinch of snuff. He was too little snuff. Brother and I used to live in railway carriages, two together. And there's a long passage from the dining room down to the front door. And one night, I got home before brother and must have dropped off and said a few words in my sleep. He comes in now, I draw beer. And got part way between dining room and his bedroom, and he heard me dreaming, and I said, go back, yes, sleep bugger, what are you doing now? Well, he seen this white sheet down there. He thought, hell far. I forgot to say why the white sheet was hanging on the curtain rail. Used to hang it up there, dare off. Of course, brother, he didn't know, he half cut. And I said, go back, you silly bugger, what you doing? Well, he was in some state. He didn't know the bolt in his bedroom or open the dining room door and group side. He made a bolt for the bedroom. Next day, he called me on all the things underneath the sun. I said, what the hell's wrong with you, boy? We're still pissed up, right? And he said, no, he said, I got half it in here last night. You said, go back, you silly bugger. I looked up, the moon was shining on that sheet down there. I didn't know where to bloody go or what was on. I said, well, I must have been dreaming. He said, I didn't know, you might have been bloody dreaming, he said, but I didn't know where the hell to go next. Anyway, we sorted that lot out, and he sobered up by then, so everything was all right, you know what I mean? James Allen and I were friends for many, many years. And he was speaking to a relation, and he said to his relation, I'm going to save up for a car. Who is that? James? Anyhow, came one day, he said, how's the car situation going on, James? He said, well, he said, I rang, I got off the bloody steering wheel. On Friday nights, I used to pick up my mates, Fred Pope, James Allen. We used to head off to Penzance for a pint or two. Fred didn't like Fountain Pier, so he used to drink at the Farmer's Arms. James and I used to drink at the Fountain. After we had dropped beer, we used to come out next door to the Farmer's Arms, fish and chip shop. So we used to have a few fish and chips, head away home after a nice little night out.
Hello, welcome to Chatty Cakey Tea. Today is the 9th of January, 2025. We are getting a few more stories of Tony Andrew. We did record him last year when he was in hospital, but he is better now and he is back at home. So we thought we'd just get a few more gems off him. Over to you, Tony.
Morning, everybody. We went to Balva Cemetery to bury my neighbour, Ellen Thousand. And we was about to lower in the grave in the pit. And all of a sudden I noticed my uncle there, feet slipping on the grass. All standing up now, catching all the strap around the coffin in one hand, and had my uncle scruffed around the neck, stony slipping in. Oh, it'd be some disaster even on that bit. Years ago, my brother come home and seen my bedroom light on, and he opened the door. He said, I was on the bloody floor, stretched right out like a conger. And he said, what the hell are you doing down there, boy? Hey, aren't you in the bed? I said, I forgot. I was hot when I got in there, so I thought I'd lay on the floor a bit. Get cool. He said, "You're a bloody twit, you are a boy." I said, "I'm right in my bed now." I was in camera with Mrs. one Saturday afternoon in the marketplace going down the Woodrow's Warren Carver. And she went down there and to get a few items, and I was standing up there, and a couple come in with their two daughters. And she said, "John," she said, "have you passed away?" He said, "No, I have not." Then a few seconds afterwards, she said, "You sure you haven't passed away?" He said, "I'm telling you now, woman, I am not shit." Well, I had passed a little wind, you know what I mean. You bloody mortified. I stood up there with my roll up, smoking away. And they soon moved. They couldn't stand it. It was a bloody man. You didn't hear no more. They walked off. They couldn't stick it no longer. I was coming over from Galway on my BSA Bantam 125. And I got the new down to turn left to go home. And inside John's garage was a motorbike coming towards me. I said to myself, "That's bloody Pentreath, that is. A bugger. Bloody policeman. He wouldn't want to stop me. A bugger." Anyhow, I turned in and I screwed her back. She wouldn't do more than 50, flat out. And this motorbike was following me. I said, "You bugger, you're not going to get me." I screwed her back, went down the bloody road flying. Of course, it's a by road, and passed her Jordan Gate, went around the right-hand corner, and I had leg shields on them, and the bloody sparks started to fly because I cranked her right over. And you think of somebody well left. Anyhow, I got home, put the bike away, and I got in. More than a couple of minutes, I suppose. The world been gone over there. "You off your bloody head, are you, boy?" I said, "Ew." He said, "You went around that bloody corner." He said, "That bloody sparks are flying." I said, "Well, I thought it was bloody Pentreath. They've got buggers always stopping me." Anyhow, my brother Kenneth, he said, "You're bloody crazy, you are." I thought, "Took you bloody 20 years to find that out." When I was about 4 or 5, playing with my neighbours, I was the youngest. And we decided to go up the hill, and they put me in a bloody pram and let me go. And I was, gathering up rather a lot of speed, hit the bank when the bloody pram went upside down. I wasn't hurt. They come to rescue me. I wasn't hurt. But that's one little memory that Tony Andrew remembers when he was a young boy.